What if I told you that you could have a pancake made out of pork rinds? Sounds that sounds awful, to be honest with you. But it's not. I've actually had that in the last year. Dieting has shown me a lot of ways in which substitution can be a good thing. There's some obviously other ingredients to said pancakes, and I use the term loosely, but they're not bad. My description of them would be they taste a little bit like the breading on a McGriddle sandwich from McDonald's. You know, texture is about like sausage. But the taste is actually not bad. It's quite edible. But in dieting, we do that. We want substitution because we still want to enjoy things, and so we want to substitute not so good stuff for the good stuff. You know, I love Dr. Pepper. I don't know if it's just because I'm from Texas or because I am a child of God. I'm not certain the in-depth reason behind it, but I love Dr. Pepper. However, I loathe Diet Dr. Pepper. Not good at all, in my opinion. And so that's not a substitution that I will make. But however, Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi, I like them. It's a good trade for me. I can take the no calories in the diet drinks, and the chemicals are delicious, and so, you know, it works for me. Substitution sometimes works. I think sometimes I want this in my Christian walk as well. Only I want it backwards. I want the good stuff and not the bad stuff. You know, I want you to give me, you know, strength instead of weakness. God, I want you to give me health instead of sickness. God, I could really use deliverance instead of this pain. And sometimes it works out that way. Sometimes God does use substitution in our lives to meet our needs, but other times He doesn't do that. Sometimes, and other times He uses transformation. You know, we see Paul is such a great example to us as believers. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we see the best of both worlds. We see the mountaintop and the valley experience all in one. And in the first part of chapter 12, we see Paul who's having a experience almost out of body, seemingly. You know, he says he's not sure if it was in this body or not. The beautiful thing of it is that we see Paul in chapter 12 go from ecstasy to agony. I love how Warren Wiersbe puts it. He says his one experience of glory prepared him for the constant experience of suffering, for he knew that God was able to meet his need. Paul had gone to heaven, but then he learned that heaven could come to him. In verse 8, Paul says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul continued on, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You see, we get in this life many of our blessings through transformation, not substitution. We want what's best for us, and sometimes we want to impose that on God, and God just take it away. We actually see that in Paul's life right here in 2 Corinthians 12. Just take it away. But like Paul and so many of our lives, God is going to give us blessings through the transformation. When Paul accepted his affliction, it made it possible for God's grace to go to work. You know, there's a lot of hard times in this life. There's a lot of affliction. There's a lot of suffering. You know, it's when we're in those times of suffering that we need to be the furthest in the Word of God that we ever are, because it's in that time sometimes the sweetest words of God to our ears come through the harshest times of suffering. A few years ago, my wife and I had a miscarriage of one of our babies. And that was the worst pain I'd ever felt. And the Word of God was so strong in my life. God ministered to me so much through His Word. This passage was just such an encouragement to me. And God healed us in a lot of ways, but substitution wasn't one of them. He didn't take away the pain. He gave His grace to glorify Him in the midst of the pain. He used friends. He used church family. He used our families. But the biggest tool that God used in Teresa and in my life was His Word. It's also worth noting that God didn't give Paul an explanation. He didn't give Paul an explanation. I think because we want to control, because I want to control things, I feel like sometimes if an explanation is given, then I can better cope with this. But that's not how God works most of the time. See, He didn't give Paul an explanation. What He gave him was so much richer. He gave him a promise. In verse 9, He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness." You may be going through a time, and it's a rough time. And you may not ever in this life know why. Don't spend your extra time looking for an explanation. Spend the time you have in this trial in His Word looking for His promises. We don't live on explanations. We live on promises. Paul claimed God's promise and he drew upon the grace that was offered to him. You see, God's grace doesn't just enable us to endure it. God's grace enables us to thrive in it. Listen to what he says in verse 9 and verse 10. He says, after God spoke to him and said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness," Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Then am I strong." I want to tell you, I know there's people that I know. If you're listening, I can guarantee you there's people that you know that are going through afflictions. Believer, dig in. Dig in deep to the Word of God. The Bible says that great is thy faithfulness about our loving God. He will not take it away necessarily. He may. But if he doesn't take it away, I can assure you, when we yield ourselves to him, his grace is sufficient to transform us through our infirmities so that we can glorify him and lift him up among the lost. Lift him up among our brothers and sisters in Christ to be a strong example of what God is willing and able to do in the lives of his children. God bless you.